It's lunchtime on a Thursday. We're having some fun here. We're going to talk some Nuggets and Broncos here in just a second. I do got to read this text. It's from New York, actually. And it's on the RamosLaw.com text line. We always encourage you guys to be a part of the show. I'm going to read it as they wrote it. They got the wrong name here, but we were talking about, you know, skipping your kid's birth to win the Masters. And the texter writes, "This guy would rather watch Brian McMahon in tight pants than his own kid's birth."
Wow.
I don't even have a response.
All right.
Because he's right.
Yeah.
He's right on that. All right, keep the text rolling in. Watch the show over on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom, and you can hang out right there. Oh, I like this. This is on Twitch. Stokely and Josh, the best duo since Joker and Murray.
Oh,
not
man.
Sure who Joker is, though.
Well, that would be me, of course.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Murray's not a bad gig for you.
No.
All right, you'll take that.
Yeah, you're slow, can't jump, and I got the jumper for days.
Right. Yeah.
And I need you to pass me the ball.
Right. And I just dominate day in and day out.
That's right.
Triple doubles left and right.
Does that make Kevin Reggie Jackson?
Oh, Kevin, I am Michael Porter Jr. We've gone over this. No, you're the other guy with that comes in at the very end of the game. We saw him last night. I think he's the one that dribbles it out. What's his name again?
Did you see his up and under the other night?
No, I must have missed
that. He had like 6 points.
6 points?
Yeah.
Dang.
He was like 3 for 3.
Well, what's his name? None of us know his name.
It don't matter.
Tall white guy?
Yeah, with the like reddish hair that's...
It's Jay Huff?
Yeah.
Huff
yeah.
J, something like that?
Yeah, Jay Huff.
Yeah.
Jay Huff? Yeah. I think that's him.
Yeah.
That's
Kistner. Actually is Kistner.
No.
Kistner, you played 1 minute last night.
Well, what about the other night?
I didn't see you.
Yeah. I had a dunk the other night.
You did?
Yeah, I did have a dunk.
And an up and under.
Yeah.
All right.
Is Drew Coach Malone? Are you our coach?
No, I probably like Jordan. I sit on the bench most of the time, kind of tell you guys what to do every once in a while, give you a high five when you do something well.
He's
You're DeAndre Jordan.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
He nailed it. All right, we're having some fun. Join us on the show here. Let's just keep this going with the Nuggets. They are in control of the number one seed. Joker dominated in that second half. Really, the Nuggets took over in the fourth and final quarter. How they look at Friday and Sunday's game, San Antonio, Memphis, and Stoke, I think you and I are kind of on the same page. Let's get to San Antonio. Let's take care of business. If all five starters are available, then all five starters go. But it should be something Michael Malone and both Jared Bednar have talked about this week. Take care of business. Beat up on the bad team so you don't have to make it a 32-minute night for Jamal and a 36-minute night for Nikola. Just go down there, take care of business. Maybe you get some good basketball luck coming your way with losses for the Timberwolves and the Thunder on Friday night, who have more difficult schedules. And then you can have some rich people problems on Sunday in Memphis and decide whether or not you want to play all the starters, some of the starters, none of the starters.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not counting on both those teams losing.
Okay.
So I think you're going to have to play both games. That needs to be the mindset. And just go out and take care of business. Hopefully, against the Spurs, they have the same lineup that they had last night against Oklahoma City Thunder. They were without their first, second, third, and fourth scores. So they all sat out of the game for being different injuries. So hopefully they're not good enough to play tomorrow night and make this a little bit easier for us. Then you can rest your guys a little bit more, and that would be ideal in that situation. But look, the mindset is we got to do what we got to do. If you got to play 35, we're going to play 35. We got to win these last two basketball games. It would be a shame you get to this situation and, you know, you blow it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got a dunk. A layup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you have right here with San Antonio on Thursday. Then what is it? Saturday is Memphis?
Sunday. Sunday. They will get a day off.
Sunday against Memphis, both on the road. Those are two very winnable games, obviously. So the hard one was last night.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tough, hard-fought playoff atmosphere, playoff basketball game is what that one was. You won it. Now you put yourself in a great situation. You can't screw it up by looking past these two teams. Finish it off.
And for Minnesota, I mean, they have a gimme, too. Friday night, they host Atlanta. We just watched Atlanta. They're bad. But then Sunday is Phoenix.
I think Trae Young's back.
Is he?
Yeah. I mean, they it depends on who they have in their lineup, but they got a few players. I mean,
they play spoiler, right?
Exactly.
Get up for that opportunity to be a spoiler.
But it is in Minnesota?
It is in Minnesota. Okay. And then Sunday, though, the Suns will go to Minnesota. So it'll be Minnesota-Phoenix in Minnesota, and Phoenix is back and forth, right? They're battling with New Orleans right now to stay out of the play-in, so they're going to have to bring their A game for that Sunday to fight for having 3 or 4 days off while the play-in plays itself out. So the Suns could actually help the Denver Nuggets here sooner rather than later, and actually that Sunday matchup in Minnesota could be a preview of the first round, depending on how things shake up. Minnesota-Phoenix in the first round would be awesome. From our point of view.
Yeah, exactly.
And their perspective, beat the crap out of one another for 7 games.
Yep. I look at the West, man. It's going to be tough. Every round, I think, is going to be tough. Like, you got to come to play. If you're not on top of your A game, you might get caught slipping. I really do. Mm-hmm. You can look at the Clippers. Shoot, you can look at the Warriors. You can obviously, Phoenix. I mean, you can look at a lot of those teams. It doesn't matter when you face them all, when you play them. If you don't bring your A game, then you could be in trouble. So I think that's the mindset here. Let's go get that number one seed so we have home court throughout. That makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, to me, the team I'm most nervous about and scared of is, I mean, not scared, but most nervous about facing off is Minnesota, especially if Cat, Karl Anthony Towns, gets back healthy.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. They already had my respect, but earned a bunch more last night with what
they
were able to
do without
Cat.
Yeah. Right. They ran out of gas. You know, they were on a back-to-back also. But anytime you can put, like, the top-ranked defense with dudes that can get it on offense, mm-hmm, with a top-five player in the game and Anthony Edwards, I mean, look, that's a good combination. So sometimes it's a process. And they, you know, last year the Nuggets knocked them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they learn from that. And then, you know, so there's steps to it. And we saw it with the Nuggets. And then all of a sudden, you know, when are they going to try to take that next step?
Yeah.
Right? But they've already gone through some growing pains there in Minnesota. So you look at that team, and they're a real team. You got to play whoever. You got to play really well to beat them in a series.
That number one seed, they kind of downplayed it leading up to this. And then after the game, Michael Malone talked about that number one seed being right there for the Nuggets to take.
The number one seed is there for the taking. And that's what you have to do. You have to go out there and take it against a very good team. And now the challenge is we're on a high right now because it's a very good performance, a really important win, making sure that we bring the necessary focus going down to San Antonio.
See, so now he gets to use that on the other end. They weren't about it. They just had to play their brand of basketball. And now that it's right in front of him, he now gets to use it as a motivating factor in the final 2 games, yep, against opponents that, you know, let's be real. The Nuggets don't get up for those kind of games. Now here's a reason to get up for it.
Absolutely. And I told you, I knew he was lying to us. I knew it. I told you that,
you did,
right?
Yeah.
Because his actions have told us otherwise. He told us, like, number one priority is by far, you know, player health and getting to the end healthy. And we understand that. Of course it is. That's the case no matter what year you're in. You always want to be healthy in the playoffs, right? And especially if you're in the Nuggets situation. But his actions were saying, like, he really wants that number one, mm-hmm, seed. How he's playing these guys, and he's playing them deep in the games, and he's keeping them in late. Like, Minnesota took all their guys out. They were throwing in the towel.
Yep.
Nuggets, Jokic is still in. Jamal's still in. Michael Porter Jr. is still in. And then Jamal leaves. Jokic is still on the court. Like, what are we doing here? So his actions are telling us, I really want that number one seed. He knows how valuable it is, and I absolutely love it. Not only all of that, let's go get those two, and let's have the most wins in regular season franchise history.
Yep.
I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And as a player, you look at it like, yeah, hey, I was on that 23-24 team,
yeah,
that owns that, you know, how many wins would it be?
58.
58 wins in a season. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you've gotten this far. You need these two wins anyway to have the number one seed. So a lot of positives there. The other positive, Josh, is, look, got a 4 or 5 day break,
yeah,
before the playoffs start. So I want to keep playing. I don't want to stop now. And then now you got a, you know, week off. No, let's keep playing ball. Let's keep playing ball, which they're going to do to stay sharp, stay in shape. I mean, you look at Jamal after he took, I mean, how much time did Jamal have off?
He missed 7 or 8 games.
Yeah. He was not in basketball shape.
No.
You know, and it looked a little bit better yesterday. But that first night, he was huffing and puffing. So, I mean, that's why I like to just continue to play ball. And look, you can always get injured, mm-hmm. right? You can. You can't bubble wrap yourself up, bubble wrap your team up. So that's just part of it. But the mindset is let's play ball and let's get ready for the playoffs.
As good as Nikola Jokic was, I mean, the highlight of the game, the thumbnail of the game is that dunk from Christian Brown. Left-handed, all up on Rudy Gobert, and he's kind of switching hands in the air, trying to determine where he's going to go and how Rudy's going to react in real time, and it was absolutely beautiful. Michael Porter Jr. got up for it. Christian Brown turned around, had a big flex. Peyton Watson was fired up for it, and of course, the bench reactions were great. Here's CB after the game talking about that big dunk.
I actually like to dunk. Everybody on the team knows I like to dunk with my left hand. Most of the time. So, I don't usually try in the fourth quarter of a big game like that. But like I said, I didn't want to go over the layup against the best defensive player in the league. So you got to attack him strong. And I didn't really plan it. It just happened like that. And it worked out, so that's good.
You know how that's just cool. Like, he just sounded cool. I didn't plan it. Just happened like that.
Yeah.
I just happened to use my opposite hand to dunk on the defensive player of the year. And it just happened like that.
It just happens like that sometimes. I like the thought process there, though. He's right. You go up for a layup, it's probably not going to end well. Mm-hmm. So go up, be physical, and be aggressive, and, put one on his head. So absolutely love that. That was awesome. The last couple games, he's here in the last week or two, whatever, he's provided a spark.
Yeah, he has.
And he does. I mean, that's who he is. That's what he was last year. That guy that can come off the bench and he's going to play great defense and he's going to get you a few dunks, energize the crowd, and hopefully make you a couple threes.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a cool play.
Even that whole sequence, that play happens. The other end, the Timberwolves have the ball. Peyton Watson gets one of his six blocks. MPJ comes up with the rebound off of the block and starts to push up. Christian's way ahead of the pack. And, dude, you never see Michael throw a lob.
You never see him pass the ball. That was a shocker. I thought he was going to pull up for the three.
A transition three
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Well, he made the right choice.
He did.
And then CB took that thing and jammed it home. Christian said after the game that's probably the best little sequence of possessions in his entire NBA career.
Yeah, I could imagine so.
Right.
With the highlight of that left-handed dunk on Gobert, I mean, and those were the finishers, and the crowd was going crazy, and Minnesota called a timeout, mm-hmm. and really, really cool. Big-time game. Everybody knew what was at stake.
Yep.
Jokic downplayed it. We said, I ain't buying that. He's going to come ready to play. He wants that number mm-hmm. one seed, and that's what he did. And I think he got a little ticked off early. And then after that second half, he just said, hey, give me the ball, and I'm going to take over this basketball game. That's what great players do. That's what MVPs do. And that's exactly what he did. And it was so cool, all the different ways that he was finding ways to score and get around the wingspan that is Rudy Goober.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, finding different ways, going under, going back over, the little right-handed hook, left-handed hook off the back. I mean, it was just really cool watching how he was thinking about it and trying to navigate different moves to score against, that guy's a good defender.
Yes, he is. He might be the best in the entire league. And if not, he's 1A in that conversation. One more thing from Christian Brown here. Now, we know minutes will be limited in the postseason because Malone's going to cut that rotation a bit. But Christian was asked what the bench needs to do in the postseason.
I think defensively, I think when we're not taking the ball out of the net, and bringing it up, playing, a set offense, when we get stops, we rebound and we run, and, we're playing with energy, we're playing up and down, it's not just half-court basketball, that's when our second unit's always at our best. We were at our best last year when we were doing that.
So, yeah, second unit, got to get the energy. Nicole actually talked about that, too. So the bench came in and provided the energy, and then we in the starting group felt that we had to go match that or even amplify what that was. And, man, you want to talk about setting a tone and doing your job from the bench? If that unit can't score and Reggie's having a couple of off games, do that. Oh. Provide energy and kind of set a tone for the starters.
Yeah, sorry. Wyndham Clark hit it into the fans, and somebody's got an ice pack on their eye.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's signing a glove for the individual. Tough. Damn. you're going to watch the Masters. You get there early.
Drilled.
You get there early, and your weekend's done. You take one of the eye.
Oh.
You take one of the eye. Poor guy.
You know where that fan's going to go, though?
To the blue tent.
Blue medical tent.
Blue tent. He's going to be in there with Scheffler's wife.
Wife, yeah.
He's giving birth. He's going to get his eye stitched up. Holy cow. What a start to the Masters, folks.
Does the back of your ticket say, like, you cannot sue us if a golfer hits you in the face?
You already know that.
Yeah.
You can't mess with Augusta. They're not playing around, dude. They know people that know people. Unbelievable. Yeah. So, it's... He did the glove sign.
Yeah,
but like
that's not worth that. I need more than that.
Right.
I need
What else would you like?
Put
yourself in that situation. Okay.
Okay.
So I'm signing a glove for you. I go to hand you the glove. You're like, no, I don't want the glove. I want
your bag with the clutch in it.
I'm taking the whole damn bag. I want it all. I want all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna sue you. Right
now,
you
got a backup set,
right? Yeah. Of course. Just take the whole thing
I want
and just
the whole
walk
thing.
Off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that fair? What would you ask?
Yeah. Depends on how bad it is, you know. Like if I got hit in the eye, if it was bad, mm-hmm. you just start rolling around on the ground.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
My eye! I can't see! You know?
Yeah.
Then, like, the guy comes up there, he's freaking out. He doesn't know what to do. No one knows what to do. Guess what you get?
You get paid.
You definitely get paid, and you get lifetime Augusta passes.
Oh, that's right, yes.
So you just got to flop around on the ground, start rolling on the fairway, you know, and then everything is taken care of after that for you. So I think that would have been my move right there if I was that guy that took a ball to the eye. But, like, as a player, so I've
a glove. I'd be like, get out of here, for nonsense.
Take that bleep and
I don't need your stupid glove.
Right. Yeah. What are we doing? Dude, I almost lost my eye.
Right.
And you're talking about a glove? No, thank you. My lawyer will be calling you.
That's exactly right.
I smashed a window one time on the golf course.
Just once?
Yeah, like it was really close, though. So shattered it or whatever. And I gave my number and ended up paying for it. But, like, that shakes you.
Yeah.
To the core.
For the rest of the round?
Not the rest of the round. After, like, a Tito's, it wears off. But before that, before I got to the halfway house to get that Tito's, it does. It just, like, oh, my gosh, like, what did I just do? But it took, like, a hole and a half to get over it. But, like, and I couldn't imagine, like, these guys, this is what they do for a living.
Right.
And now you got your kind of your routine is all out of whack and out of sorts. And, you know, now this guy, you're like, oh, gosh, hopefully, you know, mm-hmm. he doesn't lose an eye here. And that just kind of, you know, but this is what they do. But at the same time, you don't do this stuff, you know, you're not hitting guys every weekend having to deal with.
No.
So it's a little bit different here. We'll see how Wyndham responds.
How much of it is on the patron themselves from not seeing the golf ball coming at you? You got to take some responsibility, right?
That's the course's lawyer. There you go, right there.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like you got it down. Like, it's his fault. He should have saw it coming, you know, from 350 yards away.
Right.
Yeah.
At 90 miles an hour.
Right. So that's definitely his fault. So you take the glove or you leave it. You know, you're not getting anything else. So that's it.
Yeah. I mean, either you get in the bag or I'm with you just rolling around and somebody's writing a check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the move. And, like, you start rolling in the middle, like, you, because it's on a little bit of a slope where the guy was in the rope. You know, you just flat out
go
just,
down.
Yeah, you go down. How cool would that be? You're the only person ever to, you know, roll around in Augusta fairways and you're holding your eye. So they're not going to be mad. They're not going to kick you out because you don't know what you're doing. And guess what else?
What else?
You got a concussion. You got a concussion.
That's right.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I got a concussion. What happened to me? I can't see out of one of my eyes. And there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, goodness. We got it figured out.
This texter says, if Wyndham Clark hit me with a ball, I'd ask for a signed Tiger Woods glove. So you ask him to go get someone else's glove.
No. Can you get Tiger to sign this also? I like that. And he chipped it. I mean, what a chip he hit.
Oh, now he's putting.
Yeah, now he's putting. He's gonna make birdie. I think he's gonna make birdie here.
Gave someone a concussion and still puts a circle on the scorecard.
Only for a golf glove.
That's right.
I mean, goodness.
That's right.
That guy, you just ruined his whole weekend.
Maybe longer. It might be longer.
Well, yeah.
What if that guy's wife's pregnant and he can't get to the hospital?
I mean, then you're suing. So there we go. We got a lot. We figured out a lot today.
Yeah, man.
This
has been a great Thursday show.
It's
probably
been
a couple hours.
It's probably been our best.
It really has.
We have determined that watching your kid being born is way overhyped.
Totally overhyped.
Not even necessary. The kid doesn't know.
No.
You won't remember in 20 years.
Nope.
The kid won't remember in 20 years. I don't know if my dad saw me being born. I don't even care.
No.
What does it matter, right?
My dad was in the Army.
Right. Did he see
you? He wasn't there. No.
No. Okay. So, like,
I turned out just fine.
Right. Look at you. Long air skating 40-year-old.
Both the guys in the back did
this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, we got that figured out. If you ever at a golf tournament and you get hit, just flop.
Yeah.
And just start screaming and rolling around.
That's what you get.
A lot more than a golf glove.
LeBron it.
Yes.
Flop and go crazy.
Just LeBron it.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's exactly it. All right. Well, actually, let's stay on the Masters here because I want to talk some Tiger for a second. And then we're going to get to some Broncos talk. Tiger's in this.
Yeah.
We got a little action, whether or not he makes the cut or does not make the cut for pizza next week.
Oh, I put more action on it last night.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I did. I thought I was more in the hole than what I was. And I was like, I got some catching up to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Suns ended up, you know, covering
for me.
And so that was nice. I put a little bit more on it last night to make the cut, Tiger. So we'll see what it looks like. He hadn't teed off yet.
No, so I can still get in on that.
And we got pizza?
We got pizza for next week on whether or not he does or does not make the cut. And Tiger talked yesterday about his Masters and trying to get that 24th cut.
I think it's consistency, it's longevity, and it's a understanding of how to play this golf course. That's one of the reasons why you see players that are in their 50s and 60s make cuts here, or it's players in their late 40s have runs at winning the event. It's just an understanding of how to play it. You know, you still have to go out and execute it, but there's a lot of knowledge that goes into understanding how to play it.
I mean, he has all that. Like, nobody's going to beat him at that part of it. The understanding, the plays, the lies, all the things of what he's been able to do. I mean, this isn't breaking news or anything crazy. It's his body. He's going to play some good golf today. He's Tiger Woods. But then it's tomorrow, and then it's Saturday, and it's can he even get up and down? Like, does he feel great swinging the club with full force? I expect good things out of Tiger today. It's always about the next day.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. And the conditions, you know, play a big factor. If it's a little bit wet, you know, the ball's not rolling as far in the fairways, the walk becomes more difficult mm-hmm. when it's soft. And that course is really undulated. And Wyndham Clark just made a birdie after almost taking
that guy's
eye. Wyndham, way to go, buddy. Way to go, Wyndham. Bravo.
That's how we go.
Yeah, he gave him a thumbs up.
I got a birdie.
Hey, the guy can't see. Bro, he can't see the thumbs up. You lost his eye.
Like, dang, he just flipped me off after he hit me with the ball.
And now he's probably colorblind like you, Josh. Right. So that's what it is, right? It's the walk. And so the next day, how does your body respond, obviously, is a big deal. And I think with Tiger, because he can't put the work in, the practice time in, the grind in, he always, not always, but it seems like it's more difficult for him to be consistent, right? And so you have those two or three holes where you have bad holes. So it's hard for him over 18 holes to be consistent like he used to be because he just can't go out there and grind and practice and work on the things like he used to do. Mm-hmm. So, but knowing that golf course obviously is so important, where to miss the shots on the green, those types of things, and no one knows it better than he does.
Is it, I feel like this is an out-of-line question, but I'm still going to ask it. How many more of these has he got? I mean, how many more times are we going to watch Tiger in the Masters?
20.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, you win the Masters, you got a lifetime exemption to play it.
Right.
That's why you see these older guys playing. Jose Maria Olazabal.
Yeah.
Right? Freddie Couples.
Yeah.
You see these guys playing it until their 60s.
Okay.
And so I think for Tiger, I think we see him for a lot longer. His body.
But even if he knows he can't win?
Yeah, you go play, you have fun, you go to the Masters.
Okay.
Right? I mean, yeah, even if you know you're not going to win, those guys still play in it. It's just cool to be a part of that. And that's the cool thing that they do. They give you that lifetime exemption to play in it. Just as long as you can get around the course and walk it, you can play in it if you have won it. And so it's all his body. Can he walk the course, right, in 20 years? He might not be able to do that. But I think if he's able to get around the course, it's not about making the cut.
Okay.
It's about going out there and, you know, they parade you around and you hit the ceremonial, you know, you first hit off the tee box and, you know, you do the champions dinner and they have all those guys back. So you're kind of already there. Yeah.
All right. I didn't think it would be as much, but you're probably all right. It's more, even if you're not winning, it's about the hang. It's about the environment. And he talked yesterday about being a guy that helps young guys, and that's kind of the role that he's in now. All right, we're going to hit a timeout when we get back. I do want to have that conversation about a possible trade with Patrick Surtain on his way to Cincinnati and what the Broncos would get back. Would we do that deal? Would you do that deal, Broncos country? That's coming at you next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
We've talked and kind of wondered if the Broncos are in the market of trading up. Is it just draft capital that they're going to throw around? Or could it be a player like Patrick Surtain? Could Patrick Surtain be an asset that they use to go and get some more draft capital for 24, for 25 moving forward? I want to talk about that right here, Stoke, in an article that came out. I heard the guys in the afternoon chatting about it. And it was Cincinnati, the team that was talked about of making the deal. They would acquire Patrick Surtain to go be their cornerback and obviously be on a great team, a Super Bowl contender immediately. And what would be in return that came back to Denver, Stoke, is two future first-round picks. So would you be willing to give up? We'll have the conversation about what you do with those picks, but just in general, is that enough for you to see an all-pro? What, you know, has trajectory to be a Hall of Fame type of cornerback, an all-world type of cornerback, at least in his generation, his era of NFL football? Is two first-round picks enough for that?
We get one this year and one next year?
Mm-hmm.
I might need a little bit more.
Really?
Can I get a third out?
Okay, that's probably
I thought I saw a little bit more in that article that the Broncos were getting. But if it's just two first-round picks, I'm open to it, Josh. I'm open to it. I just think that the Broncos' needs are so great, and there's so many. And the reason we're talking about it, like the reason I talked about trading Von Miller, you know, 6 years ago,
mm-hmm.
was because he's our best player. And we're going to get the most return for him because he's so good. But we need so much more. This game isn't about one player, especially cornerback. They just don't have to throw his way. So I just think, what's more valuable, quarterback or cornerback?
Quarterback.
Exactly. And we don't have one of those. So now if you don't have one of those, everything is on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So if that helps us get a quarterback, we got to move up. Say Sean Payton loves J.J. McCarthy. Just loves him. Like, that's my guy. You know, if we get him, I feel, you know, so great about the next 10 years. Well, then guess what you do? You trade Patrick Surtain, get more first-round picks, you move up and get your quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a big part of this conversation is, no, we're not just trading him to get a couple first-round picks. Do we eye someone? Are we looking at someone saying, all right, this is what we're going to do, and we're going to go get that guy,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we're going to flip these picks because we love these three positional players, and we're going to kind of reset our football team with this draft capital from the Surtain deal.
I wonder, too, if it's a pre-draft trade, you're obviously getting, you're doing kind of what the Vikings did. They acquired, 23 overall from Houston Texans. Could it be as simple as, football tends to overcomplicate stuff for no reason, but could it be as simple as, say, you know what, Arizona? We want your fourth, you take our 12th, but we'll also send you Patrick Surtain. And that's the deal. If PS2 is talent is the equivalent of two first-round draft picks, why not just make that the offer and you don't have to do the dance with losing future picks?
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, but how does Arizona view Surtain?
True.
What situation are they in? You know, obviously Cincinnati, they're close to winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to go all in with what? Players that they know that they've seen play in the NFL, the proven. It's always a crapshoot there in the draft. You never quite know. So they could take someone. When is Cincinnati drafting?
Do
we know what pick they have in the first round? They didn't make the playoffs this year. So they got to be,
19, I think, is what we're looking at. Something right around there.
Okay. So, but they're in a different situation than say the Arizona Cardinals, who are they're looking for more cost-effective young talent to grow and to develop, rather than guys that are already in their prime that they're going to have to pay big money to, because their window's in 4 years, right? The Bengals' window right now.
Right now, yeah.
So I think that's why they're two different situations. That's why Arizona might say, no, we're good. We want the draft picks. And Cincinnati would say, no, give me the players because we're in win-now mode.
I can't get this out of my head every time we have the Pat Surtain conversation of you're about to offer him $100 million. Does he want that? Now, he's going to get it no matter what. It's not like the Broncos are going to make a deal that Patrick Surtain can't refuse. They're going to make him an offer that 31 other NFL teams would also make. And they're, you know, not every one of them, but a different situation could lead to Patrick getting $100 million and being on a team that's in contention for a Super Bowl right now. Even if they nail their draft pick. Let's say they nail the draft in general here. I mean, that doesn't mean they're going to the Super Bowl in 2024. It doesn't even mean they're a playoff team. It just means they're working in the right direction. And, if you're a guy like PS2, do you want to stay around here and flirt with wasting some of your prime and not being a contender for the championship?
Yeah. Who knows how he feels about the situation. But obviously, if you're the Broncos, you want to have a good idea on what his plans are for the future, right? I mean, do you want to re-sign here? Do you want to be part of this rebuild? Or do you want to, go somewhere else and be part more of a contender right now? I mean, you need to know that because, like you said, there's a lot of teams that would pay him what the Broncos are going to pay him. And so if he doesn't want to be here and be a part of this, then you would like to trade him for some assets right now and kind of flip that asset for draft capital.
Do guys in locker rooms have these kind of conversations? Or is it's like, hey, that's the business side, and I don't stick my nose in your business. Don't stick your nose in mine.
Yeah, pretty much that's it.
It is.
Yeah.
It's different with the Broncos because he is the star player. But, like, if they had a veteran quarterback, would they go and have the conversation of, like, hey, it's a long game. We're on the other side of this. We're building it the right way. Give us a couple years. We'll figure this out. Or that's, hey, get the hell out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah, I think for the most part, most people just mind their business when it comes to the contract side, the business side of things. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, hey, you do you, and I do me. So that's how it is the majority of the time there. So I just think that with Surtain and his situation, obviously you made a good point. You want to know, if you're the Broncos, what he wants to do moving forward. And if you have a chance to flip your, all-pro cornerback for a quarterback plus, other assets, I mean, you have to think about it. You have to entertain that. Imagine getting a great wide receiver and a great quarterback out of the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad thing, right? And obviously, Surtain is a great player. But, man, how's our record been with him?
Not good.
Not good, right? And the Broncos need more than just Pat Surtain. So I think everything is on the table when it comes to trying to get this thing fixed, get it heading in the right direction, and finding a quarterback.
It's such a 50-50 split. There are a bunch of texts on PS2 on the RamosLod.com text line, but literally the two I'm looking at back-to-back, first one in all caps, you don't trade PS2, plain and simple. The next one under, you trade PS2. Remember how many championships Champ Bailey won as a lockdown cornerback?
No, not necessary to take a shot at Champ.
I mean, they were. I was.
No, I know. I'm talking to them, not you. Not necessary. You don't need to take a stray today. No, but seriously, right. I mean, look.
It's a fair point.
It is a fair point. Obviously, cornerbacks can be taken out of the game by just not throwing their way. So you need more than one great cornerback. Their impact can be very limited by just not going after them. So it's it can make them, pretty much ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to have more than that. And I get it. Fans love Patrick Surtain. I mean, he's great.
Who wouldn't?
We drafted him, ninth? Was it ninth?
11th?
Yeah, overall, I mean, he's been everything that we hoped he would be. But, man, so are we rooting for one player or are we rooting for the team?
Yeah.
All right? And so you're not taking shots at him. You might even be doing him a favor. That's what I was talking about Vaughn, too, when I was saying to trade him. Was, hey, let him go to a better team. This thing's going to be a mess. And it was a mess. And then they finally ended up trading him, but that was 4 years too late.
Right.
We could have got, you know, 3 first-round picks for Von Miller in his prime, plus, mm-hmm. plus.
Yeah.
And let him go have a, you know, fun and compete for a championship somewhere else, mm-hmm. because it's not going to be here.
All right. Tell us how you feel about it. Would you trade PS2? 303-713-1043, RamosLaw.com. Text line, the Broncos, they're going to get a third helmet this year, and the Manning cast isn't going anywhere. Details on both next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
First cast when the water's glass and the line starts to run. Well, that first sip of a cold beer when the working week's done.
Almost done. The working week is almost done.
It is.
So you can play it Thursday and Friday. He knows he starts playing it on Monday. Like, dude, come on. This is a great weather, almost a weekend song.
Yep.
Down to Baton Rouge. Come on.
Yeah, this hits real hard on a Thursday and Friday.
Especially when it's nice outside.
Yeah. We're feeling good. Hope you guys are feeling good, too. Happy Thursday to you. That weekend is right around the corner. You want to join the show, be a part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Watch the show over on Twitch as well. That's twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. All right, a couple things I wanted to touch on here in the NFL, Stoke. The Denver Broncos, they're not exclusive on this, but they're going to have a third helmet. The NFL announced yesterday that there will be a third helmet added to each NFL team. You know, new uniform rules. They're trying to sell as many merch as they can. So with a third helmet means you can kind of change the design of an alternate uniform, which we know the Broncos are going to introduce some new uniforms coming up on April 22nd. I don't know that the helmet will be involved. That'd be a pretty quick turnaround, wouldn't it? Unless they probably already had some insight that this was happening.
Yeah, look, it's the Denver Broncos.
No, they don't take shortcuts.
Right? They got a lot of money?
Yeah, they do.
All right. Hey, money makes the world go round. Mm-hmm. So, I would say they could make it happen really quickly if they wanted to, if they really want to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm kind of expecting to see something.
I'm not like big uniform guy. I understand why people care. I don't necessarily care a ton. But I do think it's cool for the fans that do care, and now you get an entirely... You know, not that it'll be a crazy look. They're not going to get off the orange and blue, but something different. If you're a uniform person or a memorabilia person, something else for you to buy out there and display in your Broncos room.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, the white cap helmets or whatever they called
them. Snow cap.
Snow cap. I mean, those are
cool.
Those are awesome. They did a really nice job with them. So, but I'm not a uniform guy either, but I want it to look good out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so hopefully if they do have the new helmet, I'm sure it's gonna look really good.
Because you know what they say, right? Look good.
Feel good.
Play good.
Get paid good.
Get paid good.
Bam! That's our motto.
I was in Vegas, so I didn't... Oh, you're not on Instagram. But when I was in Vegas, someone sent me a clip of Dion saying that.
Yeah.
And I was like, show this to Stoke.
I love it.
So it did actually happen. I think it was a baseball quote about Dion. I think he was playing baseball instead, or he just said it multiple times. So, yeah, that's what's coming. And on the 22nd, who knows? Maybe we will see an alternate helmet, a third helmet from the Denver Broncos when they bust out some new uniforms for us to all.
So the new rule just got passed?
For the helmet.
New rule?
Last night, yeah.
Let's them add another helmet? Mm-hmm. So what are we? April 11th? Yeah, I mean, when do we start playing football? September?
Yeah.
That's plenty of time. Yeah. Like, how much work goes into it? Like, get a couple people that are like artist people, mm-hmm. and like, I don't know. I mean, you only have so many colors to choose from. Kisner, you're a helmet guy, like you're a uniform guy, right? So like,
yep, but me and Drew,
you and Drew. But like, how long does it take you to come up with a design for a helmet? Put 4 or 5 smart artists together,
right.
Graphic designers, architects, whoever those people are, and come up with a helmet. I mean, like, do you think it's that difficult?
I don't think it's that difficult, but I'm ready for a new one. I'm ready for new stuff.
I would say if an architect's designing a helmet, they've hit a wall. But, Drew, what do you think?
I was just thinking the same thing. I was like, architect? What the heck is he talking about?
Hey, you never know, dude. We're going above and beyond over here.
All
That's what I'm talking. See, y'all keeping inside the box here. But, like, you know, That, we don't have to do that anymore. Like, we're going to get architects. We're going to get engineers.
Okay.
All right. I mean, this is what we're doing. This is high level stuff. We're the Denver Broncos. All right. We spare no expense. So yeah, we're bringing everybody together.
All right.
Y'all didn't know that?
I didn't.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. You're right. They have all the money.
Yeah.
Let's get a guy that builds bridges and stuff like that to design us a helmet.
Right. We want to be the best.
Yeah.
So there we go.
All right. Well, what do you guys think is actually going to be the – do you think they'll go to a white helmet full time now, or is it going to be a Navy helmet with the new uniforms?
I think it's going to be a Navy helmet because I think that snow cap is still the alternate, right?
Yeah.
Where they're
going
to wear it on like Thursdays or Christmas. Well, they're not going to play on Christmas, but, you know, when they get back to those kind of moments, that will be the helmet that they wear.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. What would the third one look like?
Maybe they do the old school D with the lighter blue color because we already know they're going to keep the same colors they have now. So maybe they go the old D with like the lighter blue.
That would be the smartest play.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about merch. Like they would sell a ton of those things.
Yeah. And that's why I actually think they're going to have the white helmet as the permanent helmet with the current logo.
That would be pretty sick.
It'd look awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we need architects involved here. Stuff just ain't easy to do.
That's right.
Right?
All right, what do you guys think about it? 303-713-1043. You fired up to see what that helmet looked like? The texter says, well, you don't care because you're colorblind.
Yeah, that is true.
That's a really good
point. Yeah, I always forget that about you.
Yeah.
All we got to do is, like, we need to do a GoFundMe page, okay? And get some raise money for you to get some glasses.
Some of those glasses?
Then? Yeah. What's so funny, chicken fingers? Like, why? You don't want him to see color? That's an important thing.
No,
he's
just
missing out on life.
The way he said it was kind of funny to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, like, he's missing out on life. That's a big part of it. And, like, you actually had color in your life for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, you should want color back in your life. And you don't really. And that's concerning to me on so many levels. I want that back in your life for you to enjoy everything out there, all the greens and the yellows and the blues and the oranges and all that stuff. And I don't think you want it as bad as I do for you.
I definitely don't.
But if we can start a GoFundMe page,
see,
and we'll raise money, we'll get the glasses, and then anything extra, we'll just buy shoes for each other.
Hey, perfect.
We'll get those Bart Simpson for you, right?
Yeah, I lost out on the bid.
Yeah, you lost out. Well, but don't worry.
No, they're coming.
We'll raise enough money for the glasses, and then we'll be looking good. We'll spend the rest on clothes and stuff.
I will say I had them for about 5 months. It was a nice 5 months.
Yeah.
Like, it was a real nice 5 months.
Do you mind, do you mind wearing them?
Is
I got to put these glasses on?
They look like normal glasses.
They do?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, well, I think we ought to try to do that
for you. We got any scuba divers? Could go to Lake McConaughey and maybe...
Oh. Trying to find them?
Do a little digging for me?
Yeah, I think that's out. And then we just got to get new ones.
Okay.
I mean, can you imagine the improvements in colorblind glasses?
Yeah, it'd be awesome. We get some architects involved in that, too.
Right. We could really make those things look
good. Yeah, we'll be golden.
What year did you have them? How long ago?
Like 2020.
Okay, so like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be some advancements in technology, you would think.
You'd hope.
Right.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I'll do some research later.
Yeah, do some research on that.
My birthday's coming up. Maybe you...
Oh, it is.
For me.
Y'all hear that?
Yeah, we could send you to a golf course, hope you get hit by a ball, and then sue.
Oh, right.
And then get the glasses.
Perfect, Kevin.
Right. Look at Kister taking this next level.
Dude, that was nice.
Field trip to the Masters.
So, I tell you what. We just got to stand close to a ball incoming, and even if it doesn't hit you, I'll give you a quick elbow.
There we go.
To the eye.
Yeah.
You just fall down like it did hit you and start rolling around, and it's all good. You get a free pair of colorblind glasses.
I get glasses, and you get to hit me.
Right.
That's a win-win.
Yes, for everyone. We're all happy.
And you get a glove.
And I get a signed glove.
Signed glove. How about that?
Thank you, Wyndham.
Yes.
All right. We didn't get to the Manning cast.
No, we did.
But I want to, because I have a very important question.
Well...
In regards to the Manning cast and maybe your future.
You knew why I couldn't go to, like, do a lot of stuff the last week. I was grinding on getting some work done, and we finally got it done, so we'll tell the world
about
it.
You had to get a couple signatures.
Just negotiations take time sometimes, especially at that level.
Of course.
And so I finally got that accomplished for our team.
Had to cross some T's, dot some I's.
Yeah, our team is real happy with the deal,
and
everyone involved was happy with the input I provided and the expertise I provided.
We're going to give you the details on that. And like I said, I have one very specific question for Stoke. When we get back.